Masechet Arla Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Dalad until Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Zayin. The remaining Mishnayos of this Perek are actually based on two previous arguments which we've had in this Perek. The first of those arguments, which we had in Mishnah Yud, and originally actually in Mishnah Aleph as well, was whether two different prohibitions can combine. For example, if you have Orla Pepper and Kleakerim Pepper and Truma Pepper, do they combine in a mixture to forbid the mixture? So if there's not enough chulin to nullify all of them put together, then the chulin will be forbidden. And that is indeed the opinion of the Chachomim. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if they're the same types of food, so in that case it's both peppers, nevertheless, unless it is also the same prohibition, they do not combine. So again, in a case where you have two forbidden foods, which are the same type of food, but they are forbidden for two different reasons, according to the Chachomim, they do combine. According to Rabbi Shimon, they do not combine. The second argument, which the next few Mishnayos will be based on, is that which we saw in Mishnah Yud Aleph and also Mishnah Yud Beis, and that concerns the important principle of Zevo Zegeirim, where you have two causes of something, and one cause involves something forbidden, and the other is permitted, and together they cause a result. The example we had over there was where you had truma sourdough and chulin sourdough, which were added to regular chulin dough. And individually, each piece of sourdough was not enough to cause that dough to rise. However, if they are combined, then they do cause the dough to rise. That's known as Zevo Zegeirim. And we saw over there that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Zevo Zegeirim is osur, it's forbidden. We follow the forbidden part, the forbidden cause, which in that case was the truma sourdough. However, the Chachom hold that Zevo Zegeirim mutter, that it's permitted because we follow the permitted cause, which in that case was the Chulin sourdough. So again, we've got two arguments which the next few Mishnayos will be based on. The first one, according to the Chachomim, two different kinds of prohibitions can combine. According to Rabbi Shimon, they cannot combine. And the second argument is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Zevo Zegeirim osur, whereas according to the Chachomim, Zevo Zegeirim mutter. So we begin. So Oshel Trumav Shel Kleah Kerem, Truma sourdough and Kleakerim sourdough, Shenofu Lusach Issa, which both fall into a chulin piece of dough. And Lebozek de Lechametz, Lebozek de Lechametz. The Truma sourdough by itself is not enough to cause the chulin dough to rise, and neither is the Kleakerim sourdough enough in itself to cause the chulin dough to rise. However, when it's Tarfu, once they are combined and they're both added to this dough, v'chimtzu, they do cause the dough to rise. So the Tanakama of our Mishnah follows the Chachomim of Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Yud, that two different prohibitions can combine, and therefore the Truma and the Kleakerim combine, and since for non-Kleanim those two things are forbidden, so they both combine, and therefore also Lazorim, the dough will be forbidden for non-Kleanim to eat that dough. However, Mutula Kleanim, it's permitted for Kleanim, because for Kleanim it's exactly the same case as in Mishnah Yud Aleph. Because since Truma is permitted for Kleanim, it will be the same as if Chulin sourdough combined with Kleakerim sourdough. So it's just a question of Zevo Zegeirim. You've got something permitted and something forbidden, which combine to get the result of the dough rising. And according to this opinion, we follow the Chachomim in Mishnah Yud Aleph, that Zevo Zegeirim is permitted, and therefore this will be permitted for Kleanim. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon in Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Yud, that two prohibitions cannot combine, so Rabbi Shimon Mati Lazorim Vela Kleanim, Rabbi Shimon permits the dough even for non-Kleanim as well as for Kleanim, since the prohibitions of Truma and Kleakerim do not combine, and since each one by itself is not sufficient to cause the dough to rise, the dough remains permitted. Mishnah Tasvav. The following Mishnah is very similar to the previous Mishnah, except that the previous Mishnah discussed sourdough, whereas this Mishnah will discuss spices. Tavlin shall truma shall kleakerim. You've got truma spices and you've got kleakerim spices, shenoflu bakadira, which both fall into a pot of a cooked dish. And the cooked dish is chulin. And once again, lebo elu kdei sabel, lebo elu kdei sabel. The truma spices alone were not enough to give a taste to the rest of the mixture, and neither were the kleakerim spices. However, combined, when it's torfu, once they were combined together, the siblu, they did spice up the rest of the mixture and give off their taste. Says Mishnah, according to the Tanakama, osur lazorim, it's forbidden for non-Kleanim, since this follows the opinion of the Chachomim in Mishnah Aleph and Yud, that two different prohibitions can combine. However, umutal ha-Kleanim, it is permitted for Kleanim, since the Truma is totally permitted for the Kleanim. So the only forbidden thing is the Kleakerim, and that is not enough to give off a taste, and therefore the Kleanim can eat it. However, Rabbi Shimon matal ha-Zorim v'la Kleanim, Rabbi Shimon permits it both for non-Kleanim Kohanim and for Kohanim, since Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that two different prohibitions cannot combine. Mishnah Tes Zayin, this machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon also has ramifications when it comes to the laws of Karbonus. And it's going to be a very similar case to what we've had until now. There's going to be one thing which is forbidden for everybody, mixed with something else which is forbidden only for non-Kohanim, and only once they are combined and added to Chulin do they affect the Chulin. Says the Mishnah, Chaticha shel kodshe kodshim, a piece of meat of kodshe kodshim. All karbonos are split into two categories. One is kodshe kodshim and one is kodshim kalim. Kodshe kodshim are on a higher level, and certain kodshe kodshim are not eaten at all. They're totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Whereas there are also some kodshe kodshim which are eaten, but they have to be eaten within the Beis HaMikdash itself, and only by male Kohanim. So whereas Kodshim Kalim, Kohanim can feed to their families, and in fact even non-Kohanim could eat them, when it comes to Kodshe Kodshim, only male Kohanim, who are in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, only they can eat these karbanos. So you have a piece of meat which is only permitted for male Kohanim, and it gets mixed with another piece of meat. And the other piece of meat is forbidden for everybody. For example, if it's shel pigel, if it's a pigel piece of meat, and that refers to meat which is from an animal, which at the time of its slaughtering, or at the time of another process done to the karbanos, if at that time the Kohen who was doing it had the intention that the carbon should be eaten after the fixed time which is given to eat that carbon. So for example, if a carbon can be eaten for 2 days, and while the Kohen slaughters the animal, he has intention that it should be eaten in a week's time. So even if he ends up eating it before then, nevertheless, as soon as he has had that intention, he invalidates the carbon, and that carbon is known as pigel, and it needs to be burnt. And that will be forbidden for anybody to eat. Or if it's for shel neisar, if it's a piece of meat which was left past its fixed time, so this has nothing to do with the intention, but if let's say a carbon had to be eaten within 2 days, after those 2 days are up, that meat becomes neisar and it needs to be burnt. So again, you've got one piece of meat which is permitted only for male kohanim to eat, and you've got another piece of meat which is invalid for anybody to eat, and those two, shenispashlan ma'achatiches, they are cooked with other pieces of meat of chulin, of regular meat which anybody can eat. And once again, there's enough chulin to nullify the kodshe kodshe meat by itself, or to nullify the pigel or neisar meat by itself, but not to nullify both of them together. Says the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, the two prohibitions combine. So since there's not enough chulin to nullify both of them put together, osu lazorim, it's forbidden for non-Kohanim, or even for female Kohanim, and the family of a Kohen, it's forbidden for them to eat from that mixture. However, mutala kohanim is permitted for the male kohanim, since only the pigel or noisar meat is forbidden for them, and there is enough chulin to nullify that. On the other hand, once again, Rabbi Shimon matil azorim v'la kohanim, Rabbi Shimon permits the meat, the entire mixture, for both non-kohanim and kohanim, since according to Rabbi Shimon, the kodshe kodshe meat and the noisar or pigel meat do not combine, since they are different prohibitions, and therefore the entire mixture is permitted for anybody. Mishnah Yud Zayin, in this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is not going to argue with the Chachomim, and even Rabbi Shimon will agree that the two different prohibitions do combine. What's the case? Besar kodshe kodshim, meat of a carbon which is on the kodshe kodshim level, so it can only be eaten by male kohanim, besar kodshim kalim, and the meat of a carbon which is on the kodshim kalim level, which can be eaten even by non-kohanim. And we're going to see in this Mishnah another factor is added to do with tumah and tahara. So it's important to realize that when it comes to both kodshe kodshim and kodshim kalim, somebody who is tomei may not eat any carbon. Be it as it may, these two pieces of meat, shenispashlan and besar ha'taiva, they were cooked with besar ha'taiva, which literally means meat of desire, and it refers to meat which is eaten only to fulfill one's desire, as opposed to a carbon. So it's just a name for regular chulin meat. And once again, like in the previous Mishnayos, only when the two carbon meats combine do they actually give off a taste to the rest of the chulin meat. Now, since all of these Mishnayos are holding like the Chachomim, that zev zegorim mutter, and this is a case of zev zegorim, because one of the pieces of meat is permitted for non-kohanim, and one is forbidden, and then they are combined and put into the chulin meat. So since we say zev zegorim mutter, everybody agrees that the mixture of meat will be permitted even for non-kohanim. Again, because this is of the opinion that zev zegorim is mutter. The question is, what about tomei people? For somebody who's tomei, that is similar to the previous few cases, where both of the pieces of meat are forbidden for him. Both types of karbonos are forbidden for a tomei person, and therefore you would expect that we would have the same machlokes as we have had over the past few mishnayos. That according to the Tanakhama, the meat should be forbidden for tomei people, since both prohibitions, in this case the kodshe kodshim and the kodshim kalim, would combine. And of course in this case would be permitted for tohar people, because they can't eat karbonis. However, contrary to Shimon, we would expect that even Tomei people would be allowed to eat this mixture of meat, since Rabbi Shimon holds that two prohibitions do not combine. So since each piece of korban meat is not enough in itself to give off its taste to the rest of the mixture, you would think that Rabbi Shimon would allow it. However, says the Mishnah, also latameim, according to everybody, it's forbidden for Tomei people. And of course, for mutalat tahirim, it would be permitted for tahir people. And the reason why Rabbi Shimon does not argue in this case is because Rabbi Shimon agrees that different levels of karbonis are still considered one overall prohibition. It's true they are prohibited to different levels, and one's permitted for Kohanim, one is forbidden for Kohanim, and they do have different laws. However, they're still both called Kodshim, they're both called Karbonus, and therefore even according to Rabbi Shimon, they do combine. Now, in fact, we actually saw this principle in the first mission of the Perek. We saw there that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that Truma, Trumas Maisa, Chala, and Bikurim would also all combine, even according to Rabbi Shimon, since the Torah calls all of those four things Truma. So since they all are called the same thing, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that they do combine, since really it's just considered like one prohibition. Whereas in the previous few Mishnayos where we had Truma and Orla, for example, or Truma and Kilei Kerem, in that case that is two different prohibitions, and therefore in those cases Rabbi Shimon would say that they do not combine.